you're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to this AHDB Dairy podcast. I'm John Bates. Thank you for listening. The Middle East may not be the first place on your list of markets for foodstuffs produced on UK farms, but Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar represent significant opportunities for exports in the coming years. This is according to a report commissioned by DEFRA and produced by Promar International. We will hear from one of the report's authors in a few moments. The Department for International Trade, AHDB and DEFRA are collaborating to produce a couple of webinars in September to highlight the export opportunities for dairy products in the United Arab Emirates, better known as the UAE. The webinars include a virtual Meet the Buyer event and presentations to encourage businesses to look to these markets to expand their sales. The person in the know about all the details is Senior Export Manager Lucy Randolph from AHDB, and she joins me now. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, John.
Just briefly explain, what do you do for AHDB?
So I'm the Senior Export Manager for AHDB. So I'm responsible for the British Dairy Export Strategy on behalf of our levy payers.
An export strategy, perhaps you could tell me a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But just for now, just concentrate a little bit on what countries are you looking at and what products?
To be honest, at the moment, historically, we have actually been looking at North America, the Middle East, and what I call Greater China, which includes China and a couple of the other Asia countries. So that would be Hong Kong, Singapore, and hopefully in the future, a couple of new ones.
And what sort of dairy products are you concentrating on?
I'm looking after pretty much all of the dairy products. However, there is a focus very much on the added value products. I feel this is where we can make the most impact. So that would be things like cheese, yogurts, premium butters, creams, and sort of new innovative products that are coming through, like drinking yogurts or ice creams and things like that.
Okay, and just in the last couple of weeks, there's been some press coverage about blue cheese going to Japan. So certainly exports are flowing. You've written an export strategy, you tell us, so just fill in some of the gaps around that then, if you would.
It's basically to sort of concentrate the strategic positioning of British dairy into markets that need the most support. And in doing that, it's also key to be very sort of nimble and flexible, to be able to react in different ways to different market forces and the unprecedented COVID dual Brexit situation that's going on at the moment. So this strategy has mainly looked at the market promotion side of it. So very much exhibitions, promotional events, trade missions. We've done chefs competitions, Meet the Buyer events, basically helping companies on the ground to do business and to sell as much as they possibly can.
Okay, so one of the ways that people can find out a little bit more about export opportunities is these webinars. Give us some details about the webinars that are planned.
Basically, what's happened is we've had to very much change our strategy because of the COVID situation. We're having to look at new and different ways of reaching companies, still enabling them to continue their educational knowledge and still put them in front of buyers. So this is quite a new thing for us. I'm actually working sort of in conjunction with the Department for International Trade in the UAE, and we've decided to put together a Middle East week, which will consist of two webinars, as John has already said. The first webinar is going to be presenting the DEFRA commissioned report that has been done by Promar, which is brilliant, and that will be presented by Caroline from Promar. And the second webinar will actually be on Saudi Arabia, Kuwait and Qatar, where we will have the various departments in those countries who will be talking to us about how you can do business out there, the opportunities for dairy and how you're able to actually manage that. We will also then, fingers crossed, we'll be putting together a Meet the Buyer event, a virtual tasting, the tasting part being the hopefully virtual tasting Meet the Buyer event that will take place over that week. There could be lots of meetings, so it'll probably take space over that week or maybe going into the next week as well, where we're hoping to put companies in touch with around maybe five buyers that are new to British products. And yes, that will complete our Middle East week, hopefully.
The wonders of technology, you know, virtual tasting. I need an invitation for that.
Fingers crossed. It all depends on the courier services, I think.
Before I move on to talk about the report, the markets that you're talking about around the UAE, when are they likely to become active?
To be honest, they're actually active at the moment. We've been doing a fair bit into some of these markets for a while now, especially the UAE. The other markets, it's still quite new for some companies. But actually, you know, with everything that's been going on, we've had a sort of 10% drop in exports in the last quarter. Now, I do see the recovery on that. I can see it talking to stakeholders, etc. But what we need to do, and the most important thing for us to do, is to get out there and get the British reputation going again. You know, we're out there, we're ready to do business, and make sure they don't forget about us.
In the introduction, I referenced a report which has been written by Promar International. That report is titled The UAE Market for Selected UK Food and Drink Products. Caroline Dawson, head of Agri-Food Promar International, is one of the authors, and I'm pleased to say that Caroline joins us now. Thanks for sparing the time to join us, Caroline.
No problem at all. Good to meet you, John.
Tell us a little bit about Promar and what you do, please.
Okay, well, I'm the head of Agri-Food for Promar International, and Promar are a sister company of Genus PLC. And in my role, I head up a team of analysts and consultants, and we work on a whole sort of wide range of assignments for international and UK clients, particularly around sort of agri-food, food and drink, looking at market insight, data analysis, market opportunities. We do a lot of research in country, which is sort of where we got involved with this DEFRA report and travelling over to the UAE. That probably sums up a little bit about us and what we do.
Tell me, when was the report done and why was the report commissioned?
The report was commissioned by DEFRA, and the report really was to provide some market insight, and it was in four potential markets. So UAE was one of them. There was also India and USA. And we were also looking to do some work out in China, but with sort of COVID and how things fell, that's sort of been put on hold for the time being. But the work we undertook took place in February and March this year. So we managed to get back just before lockdown. It was quite a sort of broad range of products we were looking at, and they were sort of tailored for each of the countries. So UAE, for example, we looked at cheese in quite a depth over there, but there was also sort of other products. So things like bread and pastries, seafood, confectionery, the sort of list goes on really. But it was to try and really give a good snapshot and provide some market insight to what's actually happening over in those countries, what importers are looking for, what retailers are looking for, food service. So it was to give quite a comprehensive and detailed picture of the activity taking place.
Did anything surprise you, I suppose, is what I'm bound to ask.
Oh, what surprised me? I think for certainly with the UAE, I suppose the real sort of passion for British products, there's a huge sort of expat population over there. And really, you know, a lot of those supermarkets are very much sort of modelled on sort of UK supermarkets. And it was quite surprising, actually, you sort of went in there and it did very much look like the UK, but with some quite inflated prices.
I suppose what you're alluding to there is that a number of retailers and products already have got a foothold in the region, and UK products and British produced foods certainly looked upon favourably. Can you give us some examples of the successes and perhaps those things we can learn from for the future?
Well, certainly in terms of dairy and cheese, you know, quite well-known sort of UK brands. So, you know, the likes of sort of Grandma Singleton's, Wyke's, Lycross Farm, they all had a shelf presence over there. There was a lot of sort of tailoring toward the sort of expatriate UK market. So there's around 100,000 sort of expatriates that live over in the UAE. So the brands over there were very much the sort of brands you see over in the UK. But there was also a lot of competition as well. So you've got to think, you know, the UK products were there sort of competing and sat on the shelf with products from America, from New Zealand, from Denmark. So it was quite a international sort of continental kind of shelf that you were looking at. But Britain did have a flag to fly there for sure.
And it's a premium price, is it?
It's a premium price. So, for example, you know, we were seeing sort of 200 gram blocks of cheese retailing anywhere in the region of sort of £4 to £6 on the shelf. But in terms of tariffs and market access and entry, right across the products for anything entering UAE, it's a flat rate of sort of 5%, which when you sort of look and compare it to other countries such as India or the US, it actually makes, you know, for a very accessible export market.
I appreciate you came back just before the difficulties that have been encountered around coronavirus, but what's the state, or what was the state of the economy in the region while you were there? And have you got any indications on what the market may be valued at?
I can share some data in terms of the volumes and tonnage of cheese that sort of, you know, has been shipped over and what the potential market was valued at just before COVID kind of kicked in. But at the moment, you're sort of looking at around 73,000 tons of cheese, sort of international cheese being shipped over to UAE, so imported. But looking at that, probably only sort of around 2,500 tons actually equates to the UK. So it is a relatively small amount that's currently coming from the UK. And that was very much focused on the cheddar, the sort of end of the market. So it's predominantly mild cheddars, those sort of uniform cheeses made by those more established, I would say, processors back in the UK. There was also, I saw, you know, there was potential opportunities for things like the specialist cheeses, goat cheeses, other sort of flavoured or vintage or mature sort of varieties. But yeah, the majority of what we were picking up on, that sort of import volume, it was predominantly that mild cheddar cheese that was coming into country.
So that should be very encouraging for people that are looking to export into the UAE. Do you think that also there's a benefit that you can step off from that market and open up other markets as well? Is that your impression, that this region opens up opportunities in other countries?
Well, yeah, that was certainly something we picked up on. So when we were out there, we had a number of interviews take place with importers. We spoke with food service, retailers, even some of the end consumers. We really sort of got a good feel. And one of the things that kept coming back time and time again was almost using the UAE as a springboard to other regions. So, you know, other parts of the Middle East, sort of, you know, using that as an entry in, you know, thinking about the connectivity to the UK. You know, it's a prime example. It's an international hub. So many products pass through. And I saw that actually from the work I was doing over in India, a lot of things were coming through the Middle East to carry on over to India. So it's certainly looking at India, the further Far East countries. So maybe picking up, you know, on what Lucy said earlier, exploring those options. But yeah, UAE is very much that stepping stone, I would say, between countries. And also as well, I think because the terms of sort of doing business there are relatively easy when you look at other countries again. And it's almost, again, that stepping stone that if people are looking to maybe export for the first time, it's maybe a softer approach and an easier country to perhaps access than some of the other countries that we looked at.
So, Lucy, this looks really encouraging, doesn't it? This must all be good news for your ears. About exporting, though, to the UAE, if listeners to this are tempted and want to know a little bit more, what should they do?
Well, in the first instance, probably come and talk to me, I think would be the best thing to do. There is also a fair bit of support out there from the Department for International Trade, the DIT. Generally, each region has their own international trade advisor, which can also connect you to their network around the world. They are a great source of help as well. But yes, do come and talk to me.
That's excellent. So that's Lucy Randolph at AHDB. Now, let's just talk about the webinars. Give us the details around those and how people can join in.
The first one, the report into the UAE, that will take place on the 8th of September at 10 a.m. And the second webinar will take place on the 10th of September at 10 a.m. also. And the Meet the Buyers will be running alongside this all the time. The webinars will actually be out there on our Facebook page, website, Twitter. It's also going to be going out in our newsletters. If you don't receive any of those, do get in touch and we will obviously get the links sent out to you.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we'll leave that there then. Thank you both for your contributions. If you have any feedback about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, please take a moment to fill out the feedback form on the AHDB website. It's quick and it's simple. ahdb.org.uk. Thank you to my guests, Caroline Dawson from Promar International and AHDB's Lucy Randolph. Also, thank you to podcast researcher Jenny Waddington and podcast producer Kate Smith. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
The AHDB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.